Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 and 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has created eternal freedom for us, dear fellow redeemed, before we direct our hearts and thoughts to the verses that make up our sermon text on this last Sunday of the church year, I want to briefly, once again, review the makeup of this book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah writes a book that is much like a mini-Bible. The Bible consists of 66 books. The book of Isaiah consists of 66 chapters. The Bible is divided into two parts, Old Testament, New Testament, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, and Isaiah is similarly divided. Even as the Old Testament is mainly God's justice and His judgment upon the Old Testament people and giving the law, it's interspersed with many miraculous and beautiful prophecies of the coming Messiah. So also the first 39 chapters of Isaiah mainly speaks of the righteousness, the justice, the holiness of God, but interspersed with some beautiful prophecies of the Messiah, who, born of the Virgin, come as the Son of God, King of Kings, who would come to take man's place. But much of those first 39 chapters talk about the judgment. Judgment upon immoral, ungodly, godless, idolatrous nations, beginning with Judah, and all the nations around about Judah, and finally a judgment upon the world itself. The last 27 chapters, much like the New Testament, are filled with a description of God's compassion, His amazing grace, as seen in the Messiah who is to come. Clearly, in this last portion of Isaiah's book, he talks about the suffering servant, who is the only Savior of mankind. The suffering servant who is coming to this world to take our place, to live that life of perfect, obedient love, which we cannot, so that His righteousness becomes our righteousness through faith. And then the suffering servant is stricken, smitten, afflicted by God, has our transgression laid upon Him. He bears our griefs, carries our sorrows, and He is crucified upon the cross, rises from the dead to assure us all of a resurrection to everlasting life. All that prophesied by Isaiah in those last 27 chapters. So, judgment and hope, condemnation and consolation, simple servants, we people, and the suffering servant of all people, all make up this book of Isaiah. And in keeping with the thought of the end of the church year, which is again as judgment in heaven, we see that our text this morning speaks about how this suffering servant sets us free from this life, free from the bonds of sin and death, leads us into eternal freedom in heaven. Our theme from our text is, the Lord's servant creates eternal freedom. Read again verses 17 and 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I'll rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. These words are echoed and echoed again and again throughout the New Testament. In fact, Peter writes in his second epistle, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Be diligent to be found, looking forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And the Apostle John writes in Revelation 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away." One of the clearest teachings of the Bible is that Jesus Christ is going to come again on the last day, on Judgment Day, to judge heaven and earth, all people. And this old creation, which is filled with and corrupted with sin and death and evil, will be destroyed. And a new creation, like the first, perfect righteousness, glory, peace, joy, will be recreated. Jesus refers to the same truth in Luke 21. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Paul writes about this in Romans 8. "The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage and corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Everything will be set free from the bondage of sin. Even creation itself will be set free and recreated. We've mentioned this before, that this term for new heaven and new earth doesn't mean only like buying a brand new car. It means to renew or recreate, like taking your old car and refurbishing it so it's as good as it was when you first bought it. It's new again. It means it's in better condition than when it was worn out and when it was showing signs of decay and dissolution. And that's a picture of this world, isn't it? This world has been decaying for 6,000 years. It's filled with sin, evil, corruption, murder, vice, wars, pollution. The author of the Hebrews writes, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." What the Lord is saying through Isaiah and all these other chapters and other verses that we've quoted is that there's a continuity between the first creation and this new creation at the end of time. The old will come to an end, and it will be renewed, created anew, new in quality, that is better than when it ended. It was worn out under bondage, corruption, and decay, renewed back to its original glory. And then in Isaiah, the Lord through Isaiah tells us how we should feel about that. Are we sad that we won't have this earth of ours, this world that we're so used to? He says, "Be glad and rejoice forever, for the former things are passed away." Suffering, sin, sorrow, tears, sadness will be remembered no more. And a new Jerusalem will be recreated. Not a Jerusalem like over there in Israel where Jesus walked the streets of the cities of Jerusalem and in the temple, but a new Jerusalem where he will dwell in righteousness of the people forever and ever. One of the most amazing things of this section of Scripture is that not only will we rejoice and be glad when this comes, but God too will rejoice. Our Lord says, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will joy in my people." Imagine our God rejoicing, singing songs of joy over our redemption, over our salvation. And speaking of the same judgment, Zephaniah says, "Do not fear, Zion," and Zion means people of God, believers. "Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He'll rejoice over you with gladness. He'll quiet you in his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing." You imagine God singing a song of praise over our eternal redemption? A song of praise as the dissolution of this world comes about and a new heaven, a new earth is created? Can you even imagine what God's voice must sound like as he sings that praise song of praise as we enter into eternity. What an amazing eternity. What an amazing God. As you said, one of the most beautiful things of eternity is that we'll finally be free from all sorrow, all sadness, all sickness, all ills, all death, all tears. We live in a very sad and sorrow-filled world. Tears of sorrow and loneliness flow down our cheeks when loved ones die. Tears of repentance when we repent of our sins. Tears of pain when we suffer illness or diseases. Tears of grief when we have losses. Tears of disappointment over our failures. We just visited our grandchildren the other day, and it's amazing when little kids, how often they cry in a day. Your tears very often. And then we leave, tears of departure as well. Now God says, the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. In Revelation we're told, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. In Psalm 16, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There'll be so much joy and happiness, the Apostle Paul declares, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, all the sufferings of this earth, and they are monumental, are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. What a marvelous eternal freedom to look forward to. Freedom from those dark, long, lonely nights for those of you who have lost your spouse. Freedom from the pain in our hearts or the trials, troubles, and tribulations we have in our families, with our relationships, or maybe at work. Freedom from the grief we feel when we see the carnage and corruption of this world, people killing people, people destroying their lives with drugs and alcohol, rebelling against God. Freedom from the pain of all our illnesses and diseases. Freedom from all the evils that we brought upon ourselves because of our sinful life. Freedom from everything that is bad, that is wicked, that is evil in this world. What a glorious end to another year's journey to the church year. And more importantly, what a glorious end it'll be to every one of our lives who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We'll be ushered in to an eternal freedom. Freedom from all the sufferings and sorrows of this life. To see our Savior face to face with everlasting joy. Our response will be that of the hymn writer who wrote the following verses of his beautiful hymn. Jerusalem, thou city fair and high, would God that I were in thee. My longing heart fain to thee would fly. It will not stay with me. Far over vale and mountain, far over field and plain, it hastes to seek its fountain and leave this world of pain. And when within the lovely paradise at last I safely dwell, what songs of bliss shall from my lips arise? What joy my tongue shall tell, while all the saints are singing hosannas o'er and o'er, pure hallelujahs ringing around me evermore. Unnumbered choirs before the shining throne their joyful anthems raise, till heaven's glad halls are echoing with the tone of that great hymn of praise. And all its host rejoices, and all its blessed throng unite their myriad voices in one eternal song. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God which passes all our understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.